A few months ago, I had the privilege of sitting down with Terry Hunt, the Executive Director of Community Cancer Association, a Waco-based nonprofit that seeks to support cancer patients. As I was re-listening to our conversation, the names and faces of friends whose lives have been changed by the dreaded word cancer were constantly in my mind. I frequently hear stories or statistics along the lines of X percent of American lives would be significantly interrupted if they face a sudden financial need. Often the jarring part of those statistics is that the given financial need may seem relatively small, like a new set of tires or a $1,000 AC repair bill. Armed with that knowledge, the entire time Terry was explaining to me how Community Cancer Association helps alleviate the financial burden of cancer, I couldn't help but think about the monumental financial difference a cancer diagnosis entails compared to a new set of tires. My little involvement with Waco's nonprofits has taught me how much of a razor's edge so many of our neighbors live on. So with that backdrop, the financial implications of a cancer diagnosis and all the associated expenses that will inevitably follow, I imagine the financial equivalent of a new set of tires imposed monthly, perhaps weekly, on those individuals. Just the thought is overwhelming. So I am incredibly grateful for organizations like Community Cancer Association that one person at a time helps stand in the gap for McLennan County residents and help them focus on the most important thing, getting well. I hope you enjoy Terry's buttery smooth, made-for-radio voice and this conversation as much as I did. All right, well, I'm here with Terry Hunt, who serves as Executive Director of the Community Cancer Association. And Terry, I'm excited to chat with you today.
Yeah, well, the opportunity is great for us, too. It's nice to talk about something that I have such a passion for, which is helping cancer patients.
All right, well, that leads to, you know, where I want to start off, which is, you know, I would love if you could just provide us an overview of Community Cancer Association. What do you do?
I am the executive director. I was first hired for the development director when I left radio. Executive director around here is pretty much 100% of the staff, so I do whatever is needed. You deal with patients, you deal with the vendors that we have, you talk to the doctors or nurses or navigators, social services, and you find out what the patient needs are and you take care of them as best you can.
So tell me a little about Community Cancer Association and what their mission is and their involvement in Waco and McLennan County.
Well, the mission is fairly simple. We want to take some of the financial burden away from the patient and let them focus on the medical and emotional needs of going through a cancer journey, protocol, treatment, things like that. That's what we want to do, is help them. So that's where we get involved in helping with the most costly things that are outpatient oriented, the medications they may need, supplies and things like that. Plus we help with travel, getting to and from some of the appointments.
Okay. So not the provision of any of the services related to cancer. You know, it's not like you have doctors on staff or anything, but you're alleviating the financial burden that comes with cancer.
Yes, the best way that we can. And the good news is we can make a tangible difference when it comes to that, when it means we're buying these meds that they can't afford, so they can focus on getting meals for the family or making their utility payment or whatever they need to do.
Okay. All right, if I could, because I want to get into that more, but if I could get into first, Terry Hunt, tell me about, you know, what led you here, what you did before this.
I was destined to play radio from the third grade when I got my first little reel-to-reel recorder. And I had a career in radio and moved all over the country and played country and played pop and played classical and did that. It was all music-oriented. So I did that for quite a while. And during that time, I learned that working with nonprofits and doing radiothons and remote broadcast and things like that was something I really, really enjoyed the most, was doing things that would help people. So from Austin to Dallas-Fort Worth to Bryan College Station all the way to Pittsburgh, PA, and back to Texas, that's where my radio career took me. And when it was time to step aside, I really felt like I didn't have skills, even though, I mean, really, a radio person, boil it down to, I sit in a padded room and talk to myself for 4 hours a day. That can go to other experiences as opposed to radio only. So you come out of that thinking, what do I really have? And the marketing was the best thing. And when I found out they were looking for a position at Community Cancer and I applied and I got the job, it was, 2 weeks into it. And I'm like, oh, this is where I was supposed to be. Hmm. And after a few years of that, the executive director retired and they made me the executive director.
So when did you start? When was that?
My first day was February 1st of 2016.
Okay.
I left radio in November of 2015.
Gotcha. All right. And tell me, could you tell me a little of the background of Community Cancer Association? When was it founded, and is it a large national organization that this is an outpost of, or is it sprung out of Waco?
Yeah, it is a standalone local Waco McLennan County nonprofit. Back in 1959, the Hillcrest Hospital had a need of trying to help patients, and they had people who were making donations that were here to do some things. So it was started by a bunch of nurses that were Hillcrest employees, and they ran it for quite a while, taking care of it. And if you had a need, they would take care of it. If you had a need this way, it wasn't necessarily only cancer related. And then when they hired the very first executive director 25 years ago, maybe, he came in and said, okay, we need a little more structure with it, and came up with the three areas of service that we have. And that's kind of still the pattern that we work off. We work off of that model as well. There was helping people if they came in and it was this and this and, oh, but can you help me with my rent payment this month? Which is great if you have the money, but focusing on what the need was for cancer is where it needed to be tightened up, because that was where the budget was focused on.
Got it. Okay, so you mentioned the three areas. Can you walk me through sort of the three core financial needs that, my understanding, you've broken that down into?
Yeah. The one that we probably focus on more than anything else is survivorship, which is medicine, medications, things like that that need to be, that you really need to have when you start going through the protocol of a cancer treatment. The first thing that comes to mind is you need pain meds and you need anti-nausea meds. Those are the two top things. But there's so many other offshoots of other medications, because it can put you in a depressed state of mind. It can do this. It can do that. So the effects of cancer are one thing, but when you start going through the treatment, there are other effects that the meds can do, because each body reacts differently. So medications and that survivorship is probably the biggest area where we help the most. I laugh and say that I'm the biggest drug dealer in town. We buy 250 to 400 doses of medicine every day for cancer patients in Waco and McLennan County.
Wow.
And that's the biggest area. Now, the second area that we help, or the second program, is disease maintenance, is what we call that. And it is maintaining when you're going through. So after the first couple of years, if you're going through it, you just need a few meds. You may need more supplies, depending on what it is. Breast cancer comes to mind with that after you go through, if you have reconstructive surgery or whatever the case may be on that, or you need the breast forms, that's where that second level comes in, the second program, because we buy a ton of mastectomy supplies. Those are going to be needed for a long time in a patient's life. And when it's meds, the hormonal therapy may continue for years after they are considered past their cancer. And ostomy supplies, those sometimes are for the rest of the lives of a patient. Also falling into that supply category is we buy wigs. In fact, I just talked to a lady the other day that she says, all I need is hair. I want to see something familiar in the mirror. And so while it may not seem like much, it's a huge, huge thing for somebody. And we have local vendors that help us with that too. And then one of the other areas is probably the fastest growing area of our expenses is nutritional supplements. Boost, Ensure, Jevity, Glucerna. They need that. I deal with that probably more on a daily basis than I do with the medications. I just approve the medication charge. But when it comes to a dietitian recommendation, they may say, we need three of this a day for this patient. I know what the cost of that is, and so I know exactly how much money to give a patient to go buy those. You mentioned that we're not like some of the other ones, that we're very unique. There's a few other organizations like us around the country that are independent, don't have anybody else above or nationally that they have to send dues or money to, and they have warehouses. And so they can buy all of this stuff and then hand it out. We don't. We rely on our local vendors for that, and supplies and medication are where we get that. When it falls into the last part of the program, that's access to care, and that means that we can help you get to your appointments if you can't get there. Now, I know that we get phone calls, do you do rides? We do not. We give gas money, and we have a grant for that as well, which helps us to give physically money to a patient, and they can find their friend, their parents, their son, a relative, somebody at their church, somebody that they work with. It's like, if you can get me to the cancer center, let me buy your gas, let me buy your lunch or something like that. So those are the three areas that we really work with on the most. It's meds, supplies, and access to care.
So on the access to care, I could, for me, that it makes sense as it relates to helping facilitate transportation. I recognize that I'm lucky in that, well, even when gas prices are really high, that is a doable cost for me and my family. But I know in talking leading up to this, I didn't even think about a trip to Houston or a trip to the DFW Metroplex could be prohibitively expensive. So you cover those as well?
Yeah, and let's just take an example of a family of four, mom and dad and a couple of kids, and let's talk about going to Cook's in Fort Worth for Children's. There's a childhood cancer. Well, mom or dad would take off from whatever they do to take the child. That still leaves one child that may be at home under the age of going to school, and so they need to be there all day. Or they go to school, so somebody's got to stay here to get them out of school. If dad is here and he has an 8-to-5 job that he does, mom is no longer working, taking the child to the hospital or to the doctor's appointments in Fort Worth, Dallas area. Dad may have to take off work and cover it early, so financially it can be a bigger strain, not just getting there. There's all kinds of issues that can come up with a family in the middle of this. If you talk about an adult and they're going through radiation, that can be Monday through Friday for 8 weeks. That's every day for 8 weeks that you may not be able to find somebody to take you there every day. You may need to rely on somebody else, or maybe the spouse or whoever is doing that can't take off here, but I can do this 3 days a week. So we need somebody to help us for 2 days a week. So it becomes time consuming and very costly as well.
That makes me think of, I wanted to ask about, a representative example of the types of, folks that y'all serve.
We talk about the underserved or the less served population. You can be underserved as a cancer patient and survive as a better level before you had it, because it can be so so much a part of your life after that fact that you've got to go to this doctor, go to this doctor, go to that doctor, and you got to keep moving. But you're exactly right. When it's underserved, that can be any cancer patient. You know, yes, we do take them from some of the zip codes and population areas that we have in Waco that where they don't have insurance and they don't have the job that will allow them PTO. So yes, we do help a lot of that, but we're starting to see last year with the economy changing so much, people who didn't qualify before, but one gets laid off or whatever happens, they start qualifying now for our service. And that hopefully takes away some of the hardships, but the hardships is not, you know, it's not just getting to the appointment. It's getting to the appointment with somebody who you can take you. And yes, what do you do with the kids? You know, there's a lot of great programs once you get to the cancer centers for kids. You've got Ronald McDonald House, and you've got a lot of different ways that you can stay there and do things. And those are great, but you still have to get there. And that is an issue that we try to address with the gas money. We do try to point them in the right direction when it comes to what do we do with our kids or how can we do this, just as many things as we can do to help them get there. But yeah, it is a problem. It the cancer is like you drop a rock in the water, the ripple effect can go into things you didn't even think about.
That makes sense. So I did want to ask about eligibility criteria. Is there a certain, you know, financial threshold to receive your services?
Yeah, there is, and I'm happy to say that we don't turn down very many because of the financial aspect. We have three basic qualifications. One, you need to live in McLennan County because that's where our funding is from, and that's where our funders want it to be spent. The second level of qualification is you need to be either a current cancer patient or a former cancer patient. And then the last one is financial. And we work off the federal poverty guideline numbers. And we can work 250%, up to 250% above that federal poverty guideline. And the example that I use a lot is a family of two. That income level is set at about $21,000. We go up to $54,000 for a family of two that we can qualify you on.
Yeah.
So we don't turn down as many for financial reasons as we turn down for residency.
Got it.
That's the number one reason that we have to say no sometimes, and I don't like to say no.
Yeah. Well, and along those lines, I mean, you know, let's say someone meets that criteria. Are you where if someone meets the criteria, you are able to help them? Or is there a wait list that people are on where, hey, look, we need, you know, unfortunately due to funding right now, you meet the criteria, but we just can't serve you right now? Or how is that?
We're blessed to say we don't have a waiting list. Now, the positive and negative of that is if you don't have a waiting list, some of your funders go, well, you're taking care of business. You still would like to have that surplus so you could sustain 3 or 4 months, 4 or 5 months down the road if one of the funding levels left or was cut or whatever. That's been more in the news with some of the things that are going on federal. We right now are not taking any federal money. All of our funding is local. And so we can kind of gauge how that goes by what the economy is doing locally in Central Texas. But we have been blessed with, you know, grants from the United Way. We work with the local foundations for things like that, Waco and Cooper, and those are great. And then individual donations. It's been really, really neat to watch our individual donations grow, and that is a result of awareness. You know, I still tell people we're one of the best kept secrets in Central Texas. If you don't need us, you probably haven't heard about us. So getting the word out about what we do is very key to us continuing. And it's money. I mean, it's a bottom line money that it comes in and it goes out to our cancer patients. 60% of my salary is paid for through a grant. So you've seen the office space and everything. We don't pay. And I hate to say that very often because people want to know where we are and how do you do that? We have been blessed to be in an office provided by Baylor Scott & White. And it helps us focus all of the money that comes in right back into the community. I'm kind of jumping around here a little bit, but the other part of that is we're not national, we're local. So the vendors we work with are local. All the pharmacies are local. All the DMEs are local. That's where we get our money. And we turn around and put it right back in the community. Our phrase is, we also live, work, and worship in this community with you. And I mean, there are cancer patients that we've had on our service at church, at other businesses I know, friends that I know, neighbors that you may not know that live down the street, but you know them, but you don't know what kind of a journey they're going on. But the most positive thing that I can say about what we do is we do it locally.
See, that's one of the things that I love about Community Cancer Association, just aside from what you do, but the entirety of your model, in that you are funded by residents of Waco to serve the members of our community that we live and work alongside. You're here. The vendors that you work with are here. And, you know, obviously we could get into a much broader, deeper, and in some ways, I think, less fruitful conversation about the role that the federal or state government may ideally play as it relates to helping the underserved. But to me, I can't think of anything better than, you know, you mentioned United Way. I mean, with what I do with United Way and having seen how it's predominantly funded by the employees of local businesses. So then you have the employees of local businesses coming together to help provide funding for local nonprofits who in turn are keeping those funds here in Waco, here in McLennan County, and then knowing that you are working alongside someone who, because of something that they have experienced unexpectedly most of the time, is benefiting from the services that these local nonprofits provide. And to me, there is nothing that I could be more proud to support than a local nonprofit like this that exists to serve our neighbors.
We have been very fortunate in the last few years because awareness is one of the big things that we struggle with. Again, there's a lot of people that come in and they'll sign up for our service and they found out about us through social services or a social worker or a doctor or a nurse or a former patient or one of the vendors. And they go, I just didn't know you were here. And that's the struggle with a lot of small nonprofits is we're not the American Cancer Society. But man, I wish I had their marketing budget. They're all over media everywhere. And they do a great job with their research and education. The research that they're funding today will help cancer patients in 10 to 15, 20 years when they're able to get it tested and out.
Yeah.
The patients we have today are going through protocols that were developed 10, 15, 20 years ago. But we still have to focus on those patients today in that struggle and hope that the research shows how to lessen that struggle down the road. But at this day and time for CCA, it's helping those in need who are going through their journey right now.
Yep. They need XYZ meds. They have bills to pay, or they can't get, you know, a wig or an ostomy bag.
Right.
Or they need, you know, they've been told by their dietitian, you really need to supplement as it relates to your nutrition. Or they simply cannot find a way to get to, you know, the relevant treatment center mm-hmm. for, you know, whether it's radiation, chemo, whatever, unless someone like CCA stands in that gap.
And we're also very fortunate that we work with a lot of other great nonprofits around. We talked about taking the financial burden so they can focus on things they need to do with the family. Well, if they're in a situation where they can't afford to get all the food they want, Shepherd's Heart, I mean, you know, Caritas, I mean, there's a lot of food pantries around that we refer people to all the time. We have patients come to us that's like, my utility bill is really high, I can't pay for it. We may not have the funding, but we can suggest you call the EOAC, Caritas, even Salvation Army for some housing help and things like that. So the community of nonprofits that work together, I've noticed that some people are like, y'all need to really network more. Well, we don't blow our own horn about that because we're just doing our job. And it's great to see them. Like, we go to United Way events, or we go to the Cherry Champion events that we've been involved, and we all talk. The United Way event that we had the other day, as soon as another nonprofit came in, I walked up and asked about a person that works for them that is on our service, because I heard this patient was not doing as well as we had hoped. So I had that conversation about what their needs are, what we're able to do, what else can we do for them. But that's commonplace every day for the nonprofits that all work together. Hey, did that bag of groceries really help that patient? Did this getting this utility bill covering for this month, are they going to be able to do it next month, or do they need help again? If they do, make sure you know, have them call me. And for people who don't know, the grassroots nonprofits, the one with boots on the grounds, again, Meals on Wheels is a great. I run into people and they're like, I can't get food. Have you called Meals on Wheels? No, I haven't. Let me make that phone call, have them contact you. Do you know where Shepherd's Heart is? Sort of. Well, go over there. They'll set you up with a bag or two or a basket or a carload, whatever the case may be. And you don't hear about that as much because it's not newsworthy. But deep down inside, it's vital for the survival of a big portion of our community.
Yeah, that I have loved learning exactly like you talked about, of this pretty vast network of men and women that live and work in McLennan County who really dedicate their lives in service of others. Often it's those who have been marginalized in some way in their life. And to know, I mean, that really is the whole reason that I did this, is I started hearing these stories, and it is so easy on a day-to-day basis. We're all in our routine. We wake up, go to work, if we can, go home, you know, see kids, if we're blessed to be able to do that, go to sleep, wash, rinse, repeat. But to see this army of people that, one, are engaged in the work, but then also, you know, all of these intermediaries, I mean, I could think of face after face after face of people who recognize what it is that y'all do and the service that y'all provide, and so have dedicating themselves to saying, all right, well, I'm going to support them. I'm going to help do for the doers. You know, often it's financial, because, you know, in my conversations with individuals that run nonprofits, you know, more often than not, one of the largest challenges is just funding and being able to just continue doing what you're doing.
Oh, sustaining is the biggest key. You hesitate trying to fund a new or a smaller section of one of your programs because you got to make sure it sustains, because you don't want it a year or 18 months, however long the grant cycle is, that suddenly that stops. You're cultivating that every day just in case of that.
Right. Well, and as you alluded to, and as we see, I mean, the future is so uncertain, and you know, especially when your survival depends on the generosity of others, as opposed to, I mean, obviously business models can change too, and their revenue streams can change on a dime. But, you know, when your survival depends on the generosity of others, and you have changes in the macroeconomic environment, you have local changes, you have, you know, whatever it is, I completely get it. And so that leads to one thing I'm curious about is, so for, you know, for those listening, what are CCA's biggest needs? Like, if, you know, I know, man, every single person that I know has been impacted in some way by cancer. And so no doubt there are so many that would love to link arms and to help support you. So what are your biggest needs? How can we help?
Well, we've learned over the years that we don't have to sell the disease. You're right. You've been touched in it somewhere, family, friends, circle of friends, workplace, whatever the case is. It really comes down to talking about what the programs are and what we do. But it's money. You're right. It's funding. And the United Way, again, I'm not going to pick on them, but they have been great for us. And you've seen funding change over the years. They no longer fund an organization. They fund programs. So with our three different programs, I'm able to sort out where the needs are. The current grant cycle ends here in a few months from the United Way, but one of the two was specifically for breast cancer patients, because there was a higher incidence of breast cancer patients coming into CCA a couple of years ago. There was all kinds of other reasons over why that happened, but we saw not a shortfall, but we saw a concern that we're going to run out of money helping breast cancer patients because there was more. So that grant was great because it focused on their meds, their hormonal therapy, bras and breast forms and camisoles and things that they needed. It was very direct on that. The nutritional supplements, it's very direct. We have a grant for those, and it's very direct on buying these for patients. This is where that is. The same thing with access to care. We have been blessed with HEB to be in Central Texas. HEB gives me a grant of gift cards that I hand to patients, because now there's an HEB in Dallas. It may not be close to where the medical center is, but you can use that gift card to get gas to go there, Houston, Austin, San Antonio. The areas that a lot of our patients go are served with an HEB, and they can use that to buy gas. And so we're changing our mindset to not funding the organization, but funding the individual programs. And you've got to really break it down to its smallest common denominator to do that. And yeah, there may be 10 more moving parts than there was 20 years ago in this, but we're still doing the same mission.
Hmm. So if somebody wants to learn more about CCA or reach out, what's the best way to do that?
number one, I like answering the phone call and talking to people. The problem is when you're the only staff member and you're out knocking on doors, you may get back to people a little later. But yeah, you can call us, find us on the web. WacoCancer.org is what we are. And that's on social media. You can go to the various social media /WacoCancer. And that's how you find us. And, I have no problem talking to you about what I do. I've spoken to groups. If there's a group that would like to learn more about what we do specifically, give me a call. Let me speak to your luncheon group or whatever that may be. I'm open. That's part of the job, is sharing the mission, getting other people passionate about the mission. And you can make donations, and we have on our website, our donation page. You can break it down to breast cancer, to general services, to medications, to nutrition, to travel. However you want to break it down, the money is going to come right back into the community in that specific need for that particular cancer patient.
Well, Terry, on behalf of our community, I just want to say thanks. Thanks for what you do, and thanks for taking the time to sit down today.
No, JT, thank you, man. Hey, you know, you put a mic in front of me after the past, I'll talk.
All right. Thanks again.
You bet.